This morning we're going to just wrap up our series on this little section of Ephesians on spiritual warfare. And we're going to wrap it up really by looking at what Paul the Apostle has to say about prayer. What does he say about prayer in Ephesians chapter 6? So if you would please open up your Bibles with me. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read the entire section this morning because we want to, in some sense, review how prayer relates to our spiritual warfare. So we don't want to miss what Paul the Apostle says about warfare in the realm of spiritual warfare, but we will focus in primarily on verses 18, 19, and 20 and what he says about prayer. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Well, the first thing that I want to talk about as it relates to prayer this morning and how prayer relates to our spiritual warfare is really simply the question, why should we pray? Why should we pray? And by the way, there's notes there in the bulletin that may help you in following along and gathering your thoughts this morning. So why should we pray? Some folks are kind of philosophical about that question, aren't they? They ask themselves, why should we pray if God already knows what we need? In fact, he already knows what we're going to ask for, so why should we even ask for it? Others wonder if prayer really works. Is this just a ritual that I go through? Does it really work? Others, perhaps God seems very distant to you. You might not think of praying just like you wouldn't think of sending a personal email to Bill Gates or President Obama. You don't feel close to them, so you don't communicate with them. If God feels distant, sometimes it's tempting not to communicate with him. But for many of us, we just have excuses. We don't pray because we don't make it a priority. We have just 1,000 other things going on in our lives, and so therefore we don't talk to God. Well, this passage gives us a number of different reasons why we should prioritize prayer. So why should we pray? First of all, we should pray because we are utterly dependent on the strength of the Lord. So this is the reason that I had us read the longer portion of Scripture this morning, beginning in verse 10, where it is emphasized, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We should pray because we are in a spiritual battle and because we are insufficient for that battle. The battles that are before us, we are not strong enough to face. If we have the illusion that we pretty much can handle life, you know, haven't had too many waves in the sea of my life here lately, I think I can pretty much handle things. If we have that attitude, we will not pray. However, we are simply revealing the pride of our hearts that is preventing our prayer life. On the other hand, if we recognize how much we need the strength of the Lord, if we recognize how insufficient we are, then yes, we will pray. And then another reason that we should pray is something that is implied in this passage, and that is this: spiritual laziness, spiritual carelessness. If we are not spiritually vigilant, then we will be defeated by the schemes of the devil. We are in this spiritual battle, and one of the schemes of the devil is to just kind of teach us to slide spiritually. Help us to somehow not care so much. And I believe that the implication of this passage is simply this, that spiritual lethargy is just as dangerous as an all-out demonic attack. That certainly would have been the opinion of C.S. Lewis if you read Screwtape Letters. He was constantly encouraging, or in that scenario, the older demon that is mentoring the younger one is constantly encouraging him to tempt his assignment to carelessness spiritually. And then another reason that we should pray is it's a privilege. It is such a privilege to pray. You don't have the privilege of access to the White House. You don't have the privilege of access to Buckingham Palace. You don't have the privilege of access to the Taj Mahal. But you have the privilege of access to the throne of Almighty God. It is a great privilege. And listen to me. Listen to this. God, this God that we have access to, He is at work in the world, and people need Him. People need His input, and they need His presence, and they need His grace. And when we pray for people, we get to be the conduit of God's work and His grace in their life. We get the privilege of participating in what God is doing in their lives. At the end of this passage, Paul is probably alluding to, he's asking for prayer for himself, and he's probably alluding to his appeal to Caesar. He was under house arrest there in Rome. He's awaiting his trial. He would eventually face the Jewish accusers, and he would probably do it right there in front of the emperor, who would at the time be Nero. And so he is asking for God to give him grace and to help him to be bold and fearless as he does this with a certain amount of tension and a certain amount of attack going on against him. And he is asking the Ephesian church to please support me. Please appeal to God for me. Be a part of my legal team by appealing to the ultimate judge. So in some sense, they participate in what God is going to do in the halls of power in Rome, in the capital city, by their prayers so many hundreds of miles away. It is a privilege for them to participate and to represent Paul before God, and it is our privilege as well. If we've been grateful for the times that other people have prayed for us, then we should pray for others. And then I want us to consider another question as we think about prayer and what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6. What is prayer? What is prayer? And of course, I think, you know, everybody that's been to Sunday school half a dozen times thinks that they know what prayer is. But from this passage, what can we say that prayer is? Well, first of all, we can say that prayer is spiritual warfare. It is part of our spiritual warfare. There is this reason why prayer comes on the heels of this section about our spiritual battle against principalities and powers without even breaking the sentence in between verse 17 and 18. It's because it is a part of our spiritual warfare. If we, as it were, put on all of these pieces of armor, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, if we take the sword of the Spirit, if we do all of those things, we will still be unprepared spiritually if we refuse to pray. We will not be prepared for temptations of demons. We will not be prepared for the deceptions of the devils. We will not be prepared for the allurements of the world if we do not pray. We're fooling ourselves to think that we can somehow be spiritually victorious and make it through life if we do not pray. Maybe we could think of it as perhaps a modern platoon of soldiers. Many of you would be familiar with this. If a platoon of soldiers is given a specific assignment, they're going out on a mission, they often will psych themselves up by listening to a particular record, a particular playlist, I suppose now, is what it would be. And they have together chosen the songs that sometimes they're patriotic, sometimes they're not. They're not Jesus Loves Me, generally speaking, okay? It's not church music, normally. And they're psyching themselves up by listening to some band that gets their blood running, and they're getting ready to go do their mission because it gets them in battle mentality. It gets them in the right attitude, ready to go. And we could think of prayer as that rehearsal for us as we prepare for and fight the battles. Prayer is the attitude that goes with the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and so on and so on. It is the attitude that needs to permeate all of those realities in our lives. And then another thing that prayer is part of our spiritual warfare, but at the same time, prayer is part of our communion with God. I want us to remember that Paul the Apostle makes a connection between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and then immediately makes a connection between prayer and the Holy Spirit. So these two vital conduits of God communicating with us and us communicating with God are both connected to the Holy Spirit and thus are connected to one another. So he calls the sword of the Spirit the Word of God. And then in verse 18, he immediately says, praying at all times in the Spirit. And so we can see several things from that, just that those connections. First of all of our communion with God is through and by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not active and a part of our lives, if we do not experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, then we are not in communion and fellowship with God. At the same time, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It is the way that the Spirit speaks to us, as I said it last week. If the Spirit uses the Word of God in the life of Jesus, and we saw that last week, how do we think the Holy Spirit is going to bypass the Bible when he speaks to us and works in us? So the way that God talks to us is through the Spirit by the Word of God. And then it is through the Spirit, even as it says in Romans, the intercession of the Spirit in our prayers that we talk to God. So if we want to have any fellowship with God at all, we must consume the Word of God, the very words of God, and we must talk back to Him. We must pray. And that's actually very important because I pointed this out last week. Three out of the six pieces of spiritual armor that Paul the Apostle refers to have something to do with the Word of God. So if we're not careful, we could turn this endeavor, this Christian life, into something that's kind of academic. We could read continuously and study and get into the theology of it, and we should. We should constantly consume the Word of God. However, if we just turn that into an academic pursuit and we do not know the Lord, if we do not know Him in prayer, it's possible to know the book and to know the theology and to know the gospel, to know the doctrine and not know God. If we know God, we will pray. And in fact, if we want to know God, we will pray. It's not worth very much if we have all of this armor and all of this Bible knowledge if somehow we are not spending time with God, knowing Him in prayer. So what is prayer? It's part of our spiritual warfare. It's part of our communion with God. But also, prayer is our humble dependence on God. If we're not praying very regularly, something more than just, "Dear Lord, bless the food and bless this day," we are depending upon ourselves. Let me know how that turns out, right? We need the Lord, and so prayer is an expression of the humility of our hearts. You know, in the front of his Bible, D.L. Moody wrote, "This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book." Well, there's something similar to that when it comes to prayer. Prayer will keep us from pride, but pride will keep us from prayer. And then finally, prayer is asking God for specific things. We can get all philosophical about it, and yes, prayer is all of these other things, but prayer is asking God. It's not bossing God. Francis Schaeffer said this, "When I come into the presence of a holy God, I find that I can never demand anything." But prayer is humbly asking God for specific things. It is a prayer request before the Lord. In fact, we kind of see this in these two particular words. Look back at verse number 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And so sometimes we might wonder, why in the world use two different words here? Well, the word for prayer is, especially when Paul uses the two of them together, it's the more general word. It includes prayer requests. It also includes praise and worship of the Lord. And supplication, very often, again, when he uses these two together, supplication is that intercessory prayer in which we ask for specific things for specific people. We come and intercede on behalf of others before the Lord. So prayer is important because it is part of our spiritual warfare. We will lose without it. It is part of our communion with God. And it's how we tell the Lord what we need. And then number three, how should we pray? How should we pray? Well, I think I want to just build on this idea of specific supplication, prayer requests. We need to ask God for specific things. Some people have this idea that, oh, I could never ask God for anything. I mean, goodness, he already knows what it is that I need, and I'm just so lowly that I would never have the courage to ask him for anything. Well, we need to pray. God has told us to bring our requests to the Lord. Rather than worrying about them, we need to bring the requests to him. We need to pray for specific things, and we need to pray for specific people. So many times when Jesus taught about prayer, he used people asking for stuff as an illustration. He used the widow who asked for justice. He used children who asked for bread. He talked about disciples who were to ask for the Holy Spirit to be given to them. When Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in what we call very often the Lord's Prayer, he taught them to ask for specific things: God's will to be done, for their daily provision, forgiveness of their sins, and protection from evil. There's requests all over that prayer. And that's why I believe that we need to have boldness in prayer. We need to be specific in prayer. And I'm just going to meddle for a moment. That's why I think you and I should keep a prayer list. We need a simple way to remind ourselves what we should be praying for. So I don't do this very often, but I'm going to talk to you about my prayer list journal thing. So in this book, I write down prayer, and then I write all my family members. And so I have the names of all of my family members, my wife, the boys, the girls, my mom, my dad. My mom's in this part of the book too, but and my sister. And then I have these little marks beside them or underneath their name, and I pray for specific things for them. Pray for their encouragement. I pray for things specifically that as a dad I need to know and you don't, right? And I also, very often, it's not a part of this book yet, but in the last one and the one before that, I would write thank yous to God about those specific people. And I would say, you know, thank you for their good attitude yesterday, or thank you for their giving spirit, or thank you for how they're growing up, or whatever. So I would make specific requests, and I would very often write some thank yous. And then I think I told you about this, facing some real discouragement and depression a few weeks and months ago, I started this thank you thing. And so here's a page of thank yous. Just on August the 10th, thank you for this. And August the 22nd, thank you for that. And August the 29th, thank you for that. And then there's another section here from October on some thank yous. And then I have a friend in here who's making a transition in his business. And some of you might remember Ben Harmon, so I have I've been communicating with him a little bit extra lately, so he's in here. And in September 26th, I wrote the date for God to bless the transition of his business. And when I pray through this notebook, I pray for him in this business transition. And the next time, eventually, I'll talk to him and see how it's going. And eventually, I'll write the date. When it's answered, I'll write the date on the other side. So there's all these things that are on my heart that I need to pray for. And I wouldn't remember to pray for all of those things if I didn't write them down. But the primary blessing is looking at the date that it was answered. Because I also wouldn't remember how many times God answered my prayer. So here's the page for financial provision for our family. And in August, God answered all those prayers. I messed up on my dates. One was in September, and the rest were in August, where God answered all those prayers. We need, God tells us, just by definition of supplication, we need to pray for people, and we need to pray for specific things. And this is the only way I can figure out how to do that, is to write them down and have that little list. It doesn't need to be in a composition notebook like mine. It doesn't need to be fancy. It maybe is just in the pages of your Bible where you've kept a slip of paper. But you will be encouraged to pray if you will pray specifically and if you will note when God answers those prayers. But I also want to be honest and say that I don't pray through that list every day. Sometimes I'm kind of in a hurry in the morning, and so there's just a little shorter time for my time of prayer. That happens to me just like it happens to you. And so I don't always pray for that whole entire list. And also on some days I go for a walk and I pray for whatever comes to my heart. Whatever comes to my mind, that's what I pray for. Sometimes on those days I pray a little bit more for myself. And some days I do both. I pray through the list and I go for a walk and pray while I'm on that walk. And by the way, there is a prayer page in that journal for me. And I pray for specific attitudes and characteristics that I know that I need to grow in, or specific things that I need. And so there's that page also where I pray for my own heart and my own needs. And then on top of that, there are times when we don't know what to pray for. And the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And we're going to kind of get into that in just a moment when we talk about the Holy Spirit praying in the Spirit. But let me give you an illustration first, and perhaps you could think about the Holy Spirit and his relationship to prayer a little bit like a computer and the binary code of a computer. I think I know our congregation well enough to know this, that if what came up on the screen of our computers was the binary code, you know, the ones and the zeros, it wouldn't make any sense whatsoever to any of us at all, right? If it's just ones and zeros, right? Maybe Dad could do it. But nevertheless, that's not going to make any sense to us. What comes up on the screen on the computer? Well, it's a word processor, or it's the game that you want to play, or it's the website that you're reading, or the video that you're watching, or something that you're listening to. That's what comes up on the screen. That's what presents itself. But underneath all of that stuff running in the background are all these ones and zeros. That's why it's called digital, right? We couldn't understand the digital part of it, but we do see what we see. And there is this sense in which sometimes the Holy Spirit writes the binary code of our hearts and our prayers. He reminds us of things to pray for that we otherwise would not have thought of. The Holy Spirit sometimes really draws our heart to pray for a specific missionary or a specific person or something else that we otherwise would not have thought about. And that's really the Holy Spirit working and moving and helping us to pray. There are times when we pray something for someone that we normally pray for, but we maybe don't normally pray for their protection, but we pray for their protection and find out that they truly needed God's protection on that particular day. So there is this sense in which, in really the mystery of the work of God, the Holy Spirit is a part of our prayer life. Another way of thinking about it is the Holy Spirit sometimes turns up the spiritual temperature in our hearts so that we pray with greater love and affection to God, and our prayers become more real and more effective and more glorifying to the Lord. So, the Holy Spirit is a part of our prayer life in that way. So let me kind of summarize. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? That perhaps is the most important question related to this passage of Scripture this morning. And so I want to tease that out even more by going to several passages in Ephesians. So we need to think, what is our relationship to the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians? That's going to help us understand what it means to pray in the Spirit here in the final closing words of Ephesians chapter 6. So, what is our relationship to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians? Turn to chapter 1, verse number 13. Ephesians 1, 13. In Him, meaning in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So our security in our relationship with God comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 2, verse number 18. Chapter 2, verse number 18. For through Him, again, through Christ, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So our access to God is by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but it is also through the Holy Spirit who intercedes also on our behalf. We have access to God through the Holy Spirit. Then look at chapter 3, verse number 16. And this is actually one of the apostles' prayers for his people. And one of the things that he is praying is that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So a Christian's strength only comes through the Holy Spirit. And then chapter 5, verse number 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So part of our Christian calling is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we preached on that section of Ephesians chapter 5, remember that what I said was that being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the power and the presence of God. What it talks about over in chapter 3, the fullness of God, and also to be filled with the Word of God. So somehow, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, has something to do with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It means that we only have access to God through the Spirit. That means our prayers should be humble. We don't earn our way there. It is only by the Spirit. It means that we pray from a position of security. It means that we pray with strength that the Holy Spirit provides. It means that we pray from the overflow of fellowship with God through the Spirit. And it also means that the Word of God should overflow through our hearts and minds in our prayers. So, praying in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit enlivens and strengthens our prayers so that we know that we have genuinely made a connection with the Lord in that time of prayer. When He turns up our heart's affections. I should also say this, there are a couple of things that praying in the Spirit are not. Praying in the Spirit is not somehow our spirit praying and our minds are disengaged. Some people kind of have that idea, actually. And that is not what praying in the Spirit is. It's not talking about praying in our spirit, you know, kind of while we're doing something else. It is truly talking about the Holy Spirit. When the editors capitalized the S of the Spirit, they were right. It's talking about praying in and through the power of the Holy Spirit with His ministry to us while we are praying to the Lord. And praying in the Spirit is also not praying in tongues. Kind of two related things there, but somewhat different. Praying in the Spirit is not praying in tongues. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, Paul doesn't even mention speaking in tongues at all, even when he's talking about the spiritual gifts in chapter 4. So, praying in the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit elevates and strengthens and enlivens our prayers so that it is not just words. We know when we pray in the Spirit that we are in the presence of a holy God. We are not just saying words. Oh God, may that be our reality, that we truly touch heaven with our hearts when we pray. You know, there's some things that we can do to cultivate that, but we also need to remember that we're totally dependent on God's grace to pray in the Spirit. You know, we can study God's Word. We need God's Word to overflow if we're going to pray in the Spirit. And we can be humble in our prayers, because we're not going to pray in the Spirit if we're arrogant and proud. But we are totally dependent on God's grace to be able to pray in the Spirit. So, when you pray, are you just saying words? Are you truly connecting with God through the power of the Holy Spirit? Now, to wrap things up, I want to just quickly handle two more questions from this passage, and then we'll be done. Who should we pray for? Well, there's three easy ways to remember that. We should pray for our person, and for people, and for preachers. We should pray for our own personal needs, because we are in this battle. We face spiritual battles, and so therefore we should pray for ourselves. But also he says there towards the end of verse number 18, making supplication for all the saints. And so Paul wants the Ephesian believers to pray for other one another and for other churches and even for some other churches perhaps that they didn't even know necessarily. Just, Lord, please be with all your people around the world, those that we know about and those that we don't. And then, of course, amazingly, at the very end of this book, when he has an opportunity to say anything that he wants to leave on the hearts and minds of these people, he asks for them to pray for him. And that means this: if Paul the Apostle is not above the need for prayer, I am not and you are not. All believers need the prayers of other Christians. And if the Christian life is a battle, and if the apostle is on the front lines of this battle, then he needs the strength of the prayers of these Ephesian Christians. The same would certainly be true for me and other Christian leaders, the elders of this church and other pastors. We need to pray for pastors and preachers, because if Christian life is a spiritual battle and pastors lead that battle, they get more of the attack. Last night, someone asked me if I ever got discouraged, and I said, oh yeah, only about every 30 minutes. Your pastor needs your prayers. We need prayer. And you need to pray for other pastors as well, and for one another. And then what should we pray for? I want us to notice what Paul asks for prayer for and what he does not. When he asks these people to pray for him, remember, he's in prison. He's facing trial. But his primary concern is that he will represent Christ and the gospel well. He asks that he will have boldness, which basically means that he will be firm and clear and open and fearless as he proclaims the mystery of the gospel. So you should pray for boldness for me, and for other pastors and preachers. We also should pray for ourselves, that God would give us opportunities to represent Christ and his gospel well, and that we would be bold to take those opportunities. I also want you to notice what Paul did not ask for prayer. He's in jail, and he does not ask for his release. He does not ask for convenience or for comfort. Now, when we are in a difficult situation, go right ahead and pray that God will change that difficult situation. But more than that, pray that God will help you to represent Christ and represent his gospel well in the midst of that difficulty. Do you pray? Do you pray? That's one question, isn't it? Do you pray in the Spirit? Do you pray with the humility and the knowledge of the Word of God? And do you pray in absolute dependence on the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit ever turn up the heat on your prayers so that you know that you have been in the very presence of God? Do you pray? And then again, do you pray? Do you ask specific requests for specific people? And do you pray for holy boldness when it comes your turn to represent the Lord Jesus Christ? Bottom line, do we commune with God in prayer? And do we experience spiritual victory when we pray in the Spirit? Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me? I know that this week God has challenged my prayer life. And I think that He wants to do that for all of us here this morning. So I'm going to just give you a brief opportunity to respond to the Lord, to just kind of close out this message between you and God. And ask the Lord for strength in your prayers. Ask Him to turn up the spiritual temperature for you. Ask God to give you some specific requests to pray for and some specific answers to those prayers. And then in a moment, I'll close us out as we go before the Lord together in prayer. Oh yes, Lord, we all know that we could spend more time in prayer, and we could be more alert in our prayers, and we could be more humble and more dependent in our prayers. And Lord, we could be more fervent in our prayers as well. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us. You would help us to pray in the Spirit, as Paul has called us to do, as your Holy Spirit Himself has called us to do this morning. I pray that we would never be satisfied with, God bless me, God bless my day. Help us, Lord, to pray for your glory and for your honor. Help us to get up into the sort of heavenly atmosphere of true communion with the living God. Help us to taste it and never be satisfied without it. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.